And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
If only animals could write their own sonnets and soliloquies, how much richer we might all be. To feel the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to take up arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by us sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to be or not to be. That is the question when your voice of the earth continues anon.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Well, I'm no Hamlet, nor am I a Richard Burton. And certainly we seem not to have a Shakespeare in our midst, although perhaps we could use one. It's amazing that 500 years ago, the bard could so skillfully express the myriad complexities of the realm, from the flatulence of Falstaff to the cunning of King Henry IV. Imagine for a moment that someone in this, our global stage, could tell our tale of power and intrigue, cunning and greed, cruelty and the headlong race to the witch's brew of double-double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. A metaphor for climate change? Someone to show us the loneliness of the barren soul as the great and spirited friends who have sustained and nourished our lives, the wild horses tamed and borne us to the ends of the earth, the wolves which became the man's best friend, the dog which honors even the tramp and the clown, the birds which awaken our days with joy and regaling, the butterflies who kiss our sodden eyes, and the horse and the wolf and the mockingbird and monarch find their place in the grand stage of life, rewritten and written off, as the new actors in this global play perform only for profit, power, and property. To be or not to be takes on new meaning as we hear the mystery of the disappearance of bees across the nation and around the world. Where are they going and why? We ask that question in segment two. To be or not to be is also the question of life itself these days, as we witness the accelerating race to extinction of hundreds and thousands of the lead and bit players known as the balance of nature. In segment three, we visit the Center for Biological Diversity, dedicated to bringing awareness to the plight of the endangering populations of whales and wolves, frogs and fowl, of every color, dimension, shape, and form. Something's coming. Yes, something's coming. But it's obscured in the mists of the warming oceans, lost in the silence of the plundered woods, beyond the reach, perhaps, of even a dream much longer. I say no more, no more. But first, the news. Beekeepers from around the nation are reporting a sudden and significant disappearance of bees from working hives. At this time, there is no explanation for this development, which seems to be a general decline. Bees play a critical role in helping to pollinate food crops, and the reports, which cite losses ranging from 40% to 80% in the population of colonies, the impact on our food supply may be felt in the months ahead. We will be covering this story during the second segment of today's show. Japan's Fisheries Agency's Far Seas Division, which conducts and sponsors the annual Japanese whale hunt, purportedly for scientific research, has officially called off the winter hunt in the Antarctic waters, due in large part to the direct confrontations by sea shepherds Farley Mowat, Robert Hunter, and the Greenpeace vessels, which resulted in a collision of whales and ships recently in the Antarctic seas. Adding to Japan's whale fleet woes was a fire aboard the Nishin Mara, which crippled the ship, and threatened to develop into a toxic spill off the coast of one of Antarctica's primary penguin nesting and breeding sites. One Japanese sailor died as a result of the fire, which is not blamed on the anti-whaling actions. The Nishan Mara has been put into order and is steaming away and hopes to serve as the factory ship during the spring whale harvest scheduled for May in the Northwest Pacific. The winter hunt had hoped to harvest 860 whales, but was only successful in killing 508. Without a full harvest of whales, Japanese consumers could be looking at much higher prices for whale in its many forms in Japanese restaurants and food stores, where ultimately the catch ends up, to help pay for the return of the research vessels each year to the Antarctic waters for the hunt. Japan is only one of a handful of nations which encourage whaling, claiming eating whale flesh is part of their culture. Most of the rest of the world is abiding by the international ban on commercial whaling, which went into effect in the 1980s. 8,000 gallons of the toxic substance cumene spilled into the Ohio River between Illinois and Kentucky when the barge ferrying the liquid hit a brick wall and ruptured. Cumene, also called isopropyl benzene, is used in the manufacture of chemicals such as phenol and acetone and can cause serious irritation when breathed. Direct contact by animals can cause damage to most animal life. Despite such realities, owners of the barge, Houston-based Kirby Inland Marine, assured neighboring residents between Brookport and Metropolis that there would not be a risk to human health. Meanwhile, Kentucky and Illinois officials are closing highways, bridges, and parks that could be affected by the spill. Shell Oil Company is making plans to act quickly on leases it purchased permitting offshore oil exploration and drilling in the Beaufort Sea, which splashes its waves directly along ANWR, the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge. The efforts by Shell Oil are part of a strategy to establish drilling for oil on public lands, even if those lands are only a few miles offshore from the wildlife refuge. Exploration offshore will involve the use of the stunning sonic guns, which are used to map underground rock formations, which help in determining potential sites where oil may be located. Whales and other animals, which live and migrate through these waters, could be soundly impacted by such actions, which can lead to temporary dislocation and even death from ruptured eardrums, which whales and dolphins use for sonic echolocation and navigation. As well, potentials for oil spills, always high in these rough seas, would be greatly increased and pose a threat to the millions of birds, mammals, and fish whose presence is the whole purpose of a national wildlife refuge. Shell hopes to begin its drilling campaign this summer. Household lights are going off all across Europe and will be completely darkened by 2010 in an effort to reduce global warming. The incandescent lights that will be banned will be replaced by fluorescent and LED lighting, which operates at about one-fifth the energy consumption of regular incandescent bulbs. Australia, too, is banning incandescent bulbs and will finish their transition within 3 years. Meanwhile, GE announced it will introduce a new line of energy-efficient incandescent bulbs by 2010. Critics claim this sounds a bit too much like the American auto manufacturer's slow response to efficiency in cars, which already has led to the dramatic decline of the American auto industry. Could someone point this out to GE, please? Dow Jones Venture One announced that investment in the clean tech sector had doubled during 2006 over the previous year's investments. Total global investment in clean tech ventures reached $1.28 billion in 2006. Of this, nearly $884 million came from U.S. venture investments. The largest investments were made to solar panel manufacturers as well as other renewable energy sources such as wind. The future for venture investments in the clean tech sector is projected to remain bullish as the world grapples with the challenges of global warming and a now certain end to limitless oil-based energy. And finally, researchers have, for the first time, documented the use by chimpanzees of spears to hunt small mammals. 22 incidents have been reported in which female and immature chimps break off limbs, strip off the branches, chew on the ends to fashion a point, then thrust them into tree cavities in what is believed to be an effort to injure, kill, and eat other mammals. The chimps, without exception, violently thrust the pointed stick into a hole, then pull it out, sniff it, and taste it for signs of a hunted victim's scent. Although so far only one case of an actual successful bush baby kill was witnessed, scientists cannot say whether the animal was already dead or was injured or killed by the hunting chimpanzee. Future science behaviorists warn that as chimps and similar species are pushed further up against the wall of human expansion, they may evolve abilities to craft even more elaborate weapons, which could include harpoons, bazookas, fighter jets, and even cruise missiles. Humans are encouraged to take every precaution to give the chimps enough breathing room to prevent this possible response by humans' closest link. And that's the news. And a few reminders. In the weeks ahead, listeners are advised that something's coming. And that's all we can say right now. This past weekend, the world was abuzz with the Oscars. Lots of amazing films this year, from the reminiscent goodliness of Dysfunctional Love and Little Miss Sunshine, to the unique vision of globalization captured in Babel, and then, of course, the usual blood, guts, and rage of the Hollywood blockbusters. But Al Gore was there, and I think he needs to learn to be himself a bit more, even when receiving an Oscar for Best Documentary and being recognized for inspiring the best song by Melissa Etheridge's I Need to Wake Up. We are waking up a bit, and we are now gearing up for the great 2008 presidential election, and it's everything from messy to messianic. But if we've learned nothing else, we should know by now that democracy matters. That who is our leader has real consequence to us at a very, very personal level. That our future and the dream of a world of peace rests to choosing a real leader. It's a tough job, President. I take it seriously. I think it matters. I think it's time we wake up. And that's why, before Al Gore was the media godfather that he's quickly becoming, before Inconvenient Truth was megaplexed, way back in March of 2006, well, here's what I had to say then. 2008 is an election year, and we have the right and the responsibility to choose a new president. It's really no secret that George Bush spends a little too much time in his Oval Office and would perhaps be a better overall president if he got out a little more, mingled with the people, and spent more time taking long walks along some of America's great trails, perhaps a wilderness trail or some quality time in one of our national parks. 2008 will give him, finally, the rest he needs to sort things out. And it will also give us the great hope and opportunity to choose a new president, to change course, chart a new path, renew our visions and hopes with a fresh start, if we are wise. Or, of course, we could once again let ourselves be bamboozled by yet another tried-and-true red-blooded politician who will carry on the status quo, leading us farther along the path of exploring the wonders in the quest of new sources of oil and generating economic security for those heavily invested in exploitative industries that take from the earth without renewing and give to those who have the most. 2008 will be a test of democracy, the democracy that we shed our blood and the blood of others to promote in the name of a dying neoconic quest for security for the existing theocracy. Or, we the people may reach deep into the soul of our nation's great legacy to honor the wisdom entrusted to the people in a Declaration of Independence and its Bill of Rights. Democracy, America, the voice of the people, the voice of the earth. There is something real and significant about all this, if we take the time to think at all. It's a whole new world, and America is dying for leadership, or better yet, for a lack thereof. And over the past year, I've heard a voice, quite literally a voice, that speaks clearly and boldly and forcefully and wisely. And each time he speaks, I feel something real being said, in a way I've wanted to hear. He's a warrior, tested by fire, attacked and throttled, bullied and smeared, and ultimately vanquished in 2000, or more accurately, victorious but with a catch. The great 537 vote defeat of Al Gore as determined by one vote of our Supreme Court. He took the outcome like a man, and in his wisdom he has reflected as great men do, and he's grown in stature, in strength, and in statesmanship. And he speaks of a democracy of old that will serve the democracy of now, if we are up to it. And he speaks of the sense that something is going so terribly wrong in America today. And he speaks of the urgent need to grasp the reins of power as the people, so that we may again regain our way, because now, more than ever, as global warming, mass extinction, the emergence of China and India, and a depleted oil future become the world of tomorrow, we either apply our greatness today or lose the blessings of a true democracy in the world forever. And it is because Al Gore speaks so clearly to me, and because he talks as a leader must at times like this, that I commit my efforts to Al Gore for president in 2008. I'm not waiting. We can't wait. I don't expect many people to at this time understand my stance, but I ask in the days and years ahead that when Al Gore speaks, you take the time to listen. With everyone now focused on the 2008 election, with only a year and a half left, there's a lot of buzz in Washington about the fumbling and bumbling leading up to the change of the guard. But in other parts of the nation, there's much less buzz flying around. It's all about bees, the bumbly kind. When your voice of the earth continues, here on the Wild Side News.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.